Praise God.
Hello, glory to God. All right. We good? Praise the Lord, somebody. You know, the Bible declares that God inhabits the praises of his people. Can I get a witness? Well, I can assure you with the praise and worship team tonight and our wonderful visitors and guests that God is in the house. And if God is in the house, then where else would you want to be? Also, he confirms in his word that he inhabits the praises of his people. Where any two or three are gathered, we qualify here. He is in the midst of them. And he also says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Before I get started tonight, I just want to thank Pastor Jerry and for the opportunity to be behind this pulpit. Brother Ricky, I have not been behind this pulpit. Now, every third week I teach Sunday school, and the pulpit in teaching is a much different atmosphere and environment than preaching. This is a higher calling. This is the most sacred place that a man or a woman, in my opinion, can be. And to be worthy to be behind this pulpit and for Brother Jerry to honor me in that is very humbling. And I'm greatly appreciative of that. And obviously, he feels like that I can go ahead, deliver the word of God, and allow you to be renewed in your mind, that your hearts will be receptive to this, and that you will leave here, not like you came, but in a greater walk of victory than when you got here tonight. Before we get into the word of God, I'd like to pay a special recognition, of course, to all our wonderful guests, but especially to Janet's sister Judy, her good friend Jim. Jim didn't come up and testify, so Brother Jim, I'm gonna kind of toot your horn for you. Because if you really want to know how God works, Jim was in major surgery some months ago. And I mean major surgery, 2 months ago. Let's get all the ducks in a row, because God needs to get all this glory. I know when I had surgery back in 2007, the surgeon, I looked at her, I said, her name was Rose Boyd. I said, Mrs. Boyd, do you know the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? She said, well, and she practices surgeries every week. She said, I've never really thought about it. I said, well, I can tell you. If it's on you, it's minor. If it's on me, it's major. Can I get a witness? My good friend in Christ, Jim Snell, he went to East Carolina. Everything was fine, and he was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. We lifted him up in Sunday school. He was on the prayer list here. And not many hours later, he was in major, major surgery. They literally drilled his skull and drained that aneurysm. But this message tonight is only going to be one fraction. And the title of this message is what, but what the Father said. And how many times during the week do we go and we hear the voice of the enemy? You know, it seems like the church listens to the other voice more than the one that we should be listening to. Can I get a witness? He seems to get our attention more so than what we already know, what thus saith the Lord. So, Judy and Jim, it's an honor and a pleasure to have y'all. Thank God for what he did in your life. Thank God for what he's doing in your life. Because God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He is always on the throne. He is at the very mention of his name. And he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And he would stick to us closer than a brother. Being a Vietnam veteran, I certainly, tomorrow, if you would, do it for me, do it for yourself. Please allow a minute in your life and just pause for the loss of life. You know, we had a slogan in Vietnam when we came back. All gave some gave all. They give their all. Now, us veterans and active service personnel, we'll have our day in November called Veterans Day. But tomorrow is a solemn time. It's a solemn day. And thank you, brother and sister, for the beautiful song. Beautiful song, so appropriate. And your heart and your love was in that, and we are most grateful. But take time out tomorrow to remember that. You know, I had more struggle tonight with this message with the title than I did with the message. It's going to be a message that you're probably very familiar with. But it seems like whether you've heard it once, twice, 10 or 15 times, God refreshes it from the speaker each and every time. You know, I could have chose, don't call me, I'll call you. That would have been appropriate. You'll see that when we go through this. And if you have your Bibles, it's going to be mostly Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 24. I'm sorry. It's going to be 1 through 24 again. The reason I say that is because this message that Christ is talking to the tax collectors and the publicans, the chief sinners, he puts them on the spot. And he does this with three parables. It's the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, which we know as the prodigal son. That's the one. Now, this is all a target area, but the bullseye of the nine is going to be on the prodigal son. Another title that would have been appropriate, No Place Like Home. We'll learn this in the scripture. Another one, You'll Be Sorry. I told you so. I did it my way. And Brother Bill, that was a beautiful song. I told Brother Blue, if you'd have said thank you very much, I was going to run out of here. Amen. Don't go there. Have you lost your mind? And last but not least, it's never too late. All of them would have been appropriate. And you know, I had them in my mind, but then when I was studying this message, I got right to that place. And it was like, Pastor, you know where I'm coming from. It was like a switch. It's like the voice from heaven said, that's it. And it comes out of Luke 15 and 22. I'm only going to touch on the title, and we'll go deeper in this in the message. The name of this message tonight is, But the Father Said. Father, we love you. We do praise you. As you've heard from your children, we do praise you in spirit and in truth. We thank you tonight, dear God, that your word that you watch over to perform will be transferred back to you, dear God, with a sweet-smelling savor. We thank you, Lord, that we can receive it with an open mind, with a renewed heart, with a precious state of knowing that God is in the house. We thank you, dear Lord, for your servant tonight. We thank you for this calling and the privilege and the honor to represent you as a messenger. For you are the true and righteous judge. You are the Most High God. You are alive forevermore. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, dear God, that right now this message may be set forth as a memorial in the sight of the Most High God. We give you praise. We give you glory. Touch every heart as only you can do. And we'll be sure to give your son, Jesus, the glory and praise. And everyone that believed it said amen. But the Father said, we start out here, the first parable. We see here in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, then drew near unto him, speaking of Jesus, all the publicans or the tax collectors and the sinners for to hear him. At this time in Jesus' life, he'd already gained a whole lot of popularity. He was already making waves in the environment. And the Jewish law and the great minds of the ones that beat their chests and had their own self-bragging rights, they were also concerned in both curiosity and wanting to know what this man had to say. Because word had got out that he was drawing a crowd. He was drawing multitudes. And he was getting the people's attention. And they were beginning to get jealous about this. So they were finding every opportunity to point the finger at him. Because it says in verse 2 of chapter 15 of Luke, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. Pastor, they murmured, talking back and forth. Who does he think he is? He has the audacity to show himself like this. Yeah, I know what they say. I know who they say he is. And they say, this man receives sinners and eats with them? And he spake this parable unto them, saying. Now, this is the parable of the lost sheep. Parables was used a whole lot by Christ because it gives a good illustration. And the reason he done that, Jesus never intended for the gospel to be complicated. It never has been meant to be complicated. Come ye all that are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. He said, come and let us reason together. Christ has always been a gentleman, and he always wants to be first one-on-one with us in this life. And so he gives this illustration. In fact, he gives three. But he focuses more on the last parable, which is the prodigal son. Now, you know, I really didn't know what prodigal meant. So I looked into the great mind of Webster. And Webster said the word and definition of prodigal means extravagant. Actually, in the verses tonight in Luke 15, you actually see more than one definition of prodigal. We know it as the prodigal son. But as I go into scriptures tonight and read this story, you're going to also see someone else that was extravagant. And we see here, Jesus is saying to them, the tax collectors, the sinners, what man of you, in verse 4, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? See, he's penetrating the heart. And he knows that he can reach them by giving these illustrations of these parables. Because, as one of the titles I could have used, every one of those within the hearing audience of Jesus Christ could have said, you know, I've been there. I've done that. How does he know these things? I'll tell you how he knows. Only Christ knows the heart of man. The psalmist says he knows the thought afar off. And so he gives this illustration. And then in verse 5, when he hath found it, the lost sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, yes, of course he does. I remember when I used to hunt many years ago, a good friend of mine, L.J. Moore, I think he's deceased now, he had 12 rabbit dogs and one fice. And Brother Philip, you're an avid hunter, and there may be others in here that are avid hunters. I remember when we would rabbit hunt, he had 12 good little beagles, and they'd get on the loose. But that one little fice, he had to detain him because that fice would literally go after that rabbit and grab it right a nap of the neck and bring that rabbit down. Well, that just busted up the game. That ain't part of the deal. The dogs are supposed to run the rabbit, and you're supposed to shoot the rabbit and or deer or whatever you're using dogs in hunting to do. And I remember one day we were hunting, and that little fice got lost. Well, you would have thought that L.J. Moore's best friend had passed away. One of them told him, one of the avid hunters, his lifelong friend, he said, L.J., why worry about the fice? You're the one that complains about that dog getting the rabbit, and we don't. He said, why worry about it? He said, you don't understand. That fice is the leader of the pack. He said, yeah, I know I got 12 beagles, and they're all good dogs, and they're hot and heavy on the trail, whether it be fresh or whether it be a distant trail. He said, but I got to find that fice. It got dark that night, and we left. The next day, I understand, he looked for that dog until 12 o'clock at night. Well, he grew up across from Parker's Barbecue. Come to find out, that dog had got a nice aroma from the kitchen of Parker's Barbecue. And that fice had gone behind Parker's Barbecue where they dumped the pork scraps. And that fice was there entertaining himself with a three-course meal. And they talked like LJ when he got that fice, that they were exuberant and rejoicing. And we see this in this. And when he had found it, speaking of the lost sheep, laying it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He's tickled to death. He's gratified. He's happy he has found that sheep. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors. Thank God LJ didn't call me in the wee hours of the morning about that vice. He said he comes home. He calls his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. Everybody be happy. Why? Because I have found my lost sheep, which was lost. Now, Jesus said, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus said. Does it matter what Jesus said? I would say it does. Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. You've got to see this now. Well, now wait a minute. Joy shall be in heaven. Lord, are you disputing what you've said? But I thought heaven, joy was just one of many definitions of what heaven's like. The pastor touched on it earlier. The Bible declares there'll be no need for the sun, the moon, or the stars because the glory of God shines about. But Jesus emphasizes the importance here, and he says, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Just one. The Lord would have me to tell you tonight, as well as self, I've had the privilege of drawing and leading someone to Christ. He says, one sinner. In this lifetime, should God tarry his precious son, if we can just bring one to the cross of Calvary, it's well worth it. He didn't emphasize two or three. He said just one to show the importance of how it is to draw someone from darkness to light. More than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Boy, I tell you what, brother, the peace of God that passes all understanding. 99 just people that need no repentance. And just think, the Father said that if you do need repentance, that if you confess your fault and your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We come out a winner every single time. Now, that was the first parable. The second parable, the lost coin. As Jesus gives this illustration, either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently. Now, she's on a mission till she finds it. And when she hath found it, oh boy, here we go again. She calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Now, the emphasis here isn't value. The emphasis here is it's not the material gain, but it's the motive behind it. Because the urgency of not letting something slide under the carpet, if you would, shows its criteria here and shows its importance here. We know of the one sheep in the parable, the first parable, now the lost coin. I remember as a little boy growing up on Winoka Road here in Wilson, it was myself, I'm the baby of the family, my brother, my sister, she's the elder of the three. Thank God we're all still here. She had lost a quarter one night. Now, I got 50 cent a week allowance. That was pretty good for a 12-year-old back in about 1962 and 63. And I remember it was one of them half dollars. We called them, well, you had two. You had a Benjamin half dollar and then a Franklin half dollar. Had that beautiful eagle on the side. And it was good old silver. I got 50 cent a week allowance. And I would save that up. My mama said I was a miser, that I would look at that and save them coins. My sister one night, she lost a 25-cent piece in the closet. And she had taken near about everything out of that closet to get that quarter, and all systems were go until she run into one enemy agent called a mouse. A mouse had got into that closet, and she run and got me. My brother was in the Air Force. He went into the Air Force in 1964. She went and got me. She said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Woody. She said, I'll give you 50 cent to go get my quarter. Her name's Jenny. I said, Jenny, why don't you go get it? She said, I tried. Everything was fine. There's a mouse in that closet. Well, you know what? I went and got that 50 or that 25 cent piece and never did see the mouse. And so I got 50 cent. But Christ reminded me of this, of how diligent she was about moving everything. And I'm the same way. Can I get a witness? If I've got, oh God, little things just gnaw at me. Can I get another witness? Like a rattle on a motor vehicle. Oh Lord. Hey, Sister Ed. A rattle on a motor vehicle. I've seen the times when I try and eliminate that rattle, and guess what? I'd provoke three more. And that ain't good. I just don't like rattles. You know, it just bothers me. And so when we see this first parable and this second parable and how Jesus emphasizes the urgency of one coin and one lost sheep, and then he goes on to say how she rejoiced in calling her neighbors and everyone got together and had a grand time. He said in verse 10 of Luke 15, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." One sinner that repenteth. And now as we really get into, see, we've just been into the target area, but now we're going to zoom in on the bullseye. But the Father said, the third parable, the prodigal son, as we know it, this extravagant young man. And he said, speaking of Jesus, a certain man had two sons. Now, there's a lot to be obtained and secured here. And some things that I had heard this story and this truth of the word of the Lord many times, but a few things I saw that the Holy Ghost enlightened me on that was made afresh that I had not seen before. And in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them. Them. Them who? You see nothing here of the older son. Said he had two sons, the younger. Well, look now. The covenant that you've said is that I am the younger. I get one third. My older brother, that the scripture will define later, gets two thirds. But the unique characteristic and definition of this is that the father was kind enough at that time to deliver them, both of them being heirs of the property. The younger son got one third. The older son got two thirds. The older son didn't ask for his, but the father was kind enough, as the scripture says, to give them, both of them. Only one asked for it. And we see here, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me." And he divided unto them his living. And in verse 13, now this brought back a lot of memories. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Stop. I remember when I was 16 years old, Christ really, through the scriptures, I went back on memory lane and saw self. I remember I was 16 years old. I knew it all, or at least I thought I did. If I hadn't been there, I was going. I quit school. I wanted to be out on my own. I wanted to be like the prodigal son. I would have qualified to put a chapter in the Word of God as the prodigal son. And I left home. I left mom and daddy. Got a room and board here in Wilson. At that time, it was $25 a week. Oh, I know it all. I've got it made now. Now, I'm going to have me some riotous living or some sinful living. I tag team with the devil when I was 16. I tag team when I was 17. I got my first job. I was working at the Dr. Pepper plant in Wilson. I was a route salesman's helper. My last job before I went to the U.S. Army in 1971, I was a waiter at this well-known Parker's Barbecue, which is still thriving right here in Wilson. You would think I'd be burnt out on chicken, wouldn't you? But no, no. I am a connoisseur of chicken. And brother, Pastor Ricky, Sunday at Cracker Barrel, they got the best chicken, I mean to tell you the truth. They have got some good chicken. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous or sinful living. You know, we see here in Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Oh, that was me. Oh, I knew about God. I was already baptized at a young age. I knew him here. but I'd never really grasp him here. No wonder the scripture says God looks upon the heart. And we're living in a day and hour now that everybody knows God, but very few know God. Can I get a witness? Am I being judgmental? No, I'm not being judgmental. I don't have that authority. But I know Christ said you'll know them by their fruit. You won't know them by what they say. You know them by their fruit. We see this young man just like me. I was at 17, 18, quit school, my way or highway. I was on that wide path that the Bible says that leads to destruction and death. Thankfully, I'm still here because I changed course. And we see this young man. He had a great time. One third of the air. He got all the money, all his stuff, got it all packed together. This was planned and arranged. He was going to have a good old time. He's going to the Las Vegas of that day and hour. And that's exactly what he done. The scripture said he spent everything he had on sinful living. That's what he wanted to do. Been there, done that. No wonder that would have been a good title. We see in verse 14, and when he had spent all, well, now, isn't this a coincidence? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know what? There ain't nothing too hard for God. And I can believe in my heart right now that he could have been the only reason why God allowed that famine to happen. God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and repent and be born again. He spent all he had, and the timing was right for God to allow a famine to come in this far country in which he was in. We know in Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this guy's earthly father was a good man. He confirms that in the scripture. He'd already confirmed it by allowing them to have the heir of the estate, the one-third to the younger son, the two-thirds to the older son. That was unheard of. That release was not even done until you deceased. But no, he not only gave one-third to the one that asked for it, he said, okay, my older son, I'm going to let you have your two-thirds. That's the way it was then. The younger got one-third, the older got two-thirds. And we see here, he had spent all, there arose this great famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You know, Tony Dungy, a great Christian, former NFL coach of the Indianapolis Colts, he said something one time that, and being a Christian man, I could see why a wisdom of a statement like this would be appropriate. He said, you know, in the years that I've coached the Indianapolis Colts, I've certainly learned one thing for sure. I learn more through a loss than I do through a victory. It took this famine, as we will see in the scripture, to get this young man to his wit's end and find himself. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. What an insult! To feed the swine? Are you kidding me, the hogs? That's exactly what it says. That was a no-no. Brother Philip, we've spoke on this in Sunday school before. No, 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 no. Don't even get near those unclean animals. This is a, nah, forget it. Look here. You've got to get to your, look. This great flag right here, the United States flag, is much blood that has been shed for our freedom under this. The Christian flag, for whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. We see these two flags. But this young man right here, if he'd have had a handkerchief in his pocket, he would have been doing this right here. There's only one flag that Christ sees, and that's the white flag. You must surrender. God had to allow this young man to get to the point to where he knew how to define nothing but decrease. This famine comes on him. He joins up with another man in this far country. He hooks up with him. Obviously, he had swine and hogs. So he said, okay, I'll let you do that. Can't pay you much, but I'll let you feed the swine. You know, you've got to get to a point in life when you quit beating your chest, chew your ego, humble yourself. Is humility easy? We touched on it in Sunday school this morning. Humbleness is something that we all have to work towards. Even Christ said he had to humble himself to the death of the cross. Even after Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Humility is the opposite of what the enemy would have us to have. Because he was cast out and a third of his angels because of pride. And we see here, he's in a dire straits. And he said he would, in verse 16, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk, oh my God, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. See this picture? He spent all his money. Oh, he had a good time. That's just like the enemy. The enemy will take you to a place for a season and just leave you there and not care. He is a liar and he is the father of all lies. But the father said that he's got other plans for this young man. Sometimes, and you may be in here tonight and you feel like you're like this prodigal son, that you're at your very wit's end. And the only thing you can do is throw in the towel. Well, I've got a recommendation. I think that's an outstanding idea to throw in the towel. We see here in verse 17, and when he came to himself, I was 16, 17, 18, joined the U.S. Army. 6 months later, I'm in the shores of Southeast Asia in a country called Vietnam, fighting a war. Fighting a war, as you know, that we did not win. Fighting a war that we lost 55,497 brothers for nothing, absolutely nothing. The military's like this. Send in 10. If that ain't enough, send in 10 more. If that don't do it, send in, just keep feeding them in. A lot of times the government looks after us in one way, numbers. It's sad, but it's true. And like this beautiful song my brother and sister sang, nothing but the blood. Our men and women have shed their blood. Christ shed his precious blood on Calvary. He came to himself and he said, how many hired servants? Now he got to thinking. How many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? Well, look a here. My God, young man, you brought this on yourself. It was his idea. It was his game plan to get his third of the portion of his belongings and finances, go into this far country, go to Las Vegas, get involved with prostitution and everything else. Just be a field general for the devil. But when he came to himself, now, that's where Christ saw his faith. When you come to yourself, it's where Christ will come in. But you've got to come to yourself. He said, I perish with hunger. He's thinking about, God, I was there many years with Daddy and my older brother. That's all that this scripture speak of. They eat better than I do. And here I am chewing on the husks that the hogs eat. It's a pitiful situation. And he finally had to shake himself and come to himself. I will arise. Now, he is already established in himself. We see here in verse 17, the psalmist in 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I think that psalm is appropriate, that verse, for where he's at. And we see here in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Oh, I like this. Now he's got a good game plan now. He's been on this wide path that's going to lead already to destruction. He's lost everything. He's in dire straits. He's already lost I don't know how much weight. He's thirsty. He's hungry. He's at his wit's end. And he finally had to go through all of this to get and come to himself. So, obviously, how did he know right from wrong? He just confessed that he would go home and say to his father and to before Almighty God that he has sinned before both of them. That shows right there that the Father, the earthly Father, was a righteous and just man and worthy to be called their Father. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now see, he's getting all this blueprint, all this game plan together in verse 19. Am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of their hired servants. Now he's willing to negotiate. He has nothing to bargain with anymore. He's at his wit's end. He's had to come to himself. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And you see this sad story of this young son, this prodigal son here. So he's got it all together. He's got it in stored memory. He's getting ready now to leave this far country and go back home. And he arose and he came to his father. But, boy, I tell you what, there's some Holy Ghost butts in here. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now, Brother Blue back there, you and I play golf. We play on some par four holes at around 400 yards, par fives, 500 yards, par threes, God forbid, 200 yards. That's pretty long. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Ricky. The father saw him afar off. That tells me that he was hoping and praying day in and day out. Lord, bring my son back. Lord, let him be at a point to where he'll see the error of his ways, which he did. And he saw him afar off. Now, boy, you talking about joy. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know, we have a beauty of knowing in John, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, Christ, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you don't think this father was delighted? Number one, he was looking for him. And I know he was praying diligently that his son would come back. And number two, when he saw him afar off, he said, good gracious, glory to God, my son has returned. I mean, you got to think that in the first parable, the one of the lost sheep, we're talking about a sheep. The second parable, the lady lost a coin, we're talking about a coin. But now we are talking about the son of the father. And it says that in verse 22, but the father said, which is the title of the night. Now this is the bullseye. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. You've got to be kidding me. The best robe? You mean to tell me he deliberately? Oh, I know he's my son, and I know he's my youngest son, and I ain't going to say he's my pet. I got two sons. I love them both equally. You telling me I've got to get the best robe after he purposed in his heart to get away from this comfortable environment at home in which he was in, where he had everything he could desire. He had it made and didn't realize that, but yet he chose that wide path to go down, to go to a far country and live like the heathen, to get out of the light and go into darkness. And I'm supposed to get my robe? Oh, it gets deeper and better than that. And even put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, there was a time in all of our lives when we were there. But deep down inside, the Father said that I don't care how far you've gone. I don't care what you've done. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I love you with an everlasting love. As I'm closing tonight, there may be some of you in here tonight that are not in this situation. But there may be some of you here tonight that are battling the other voice. There may be some in here tonight, you hear the voice that says, well, you're lost. But no, the Father says, you can be found. There may be a bad doctor's report tonight. We shared a good one. There's nothing too hard for God. By my stripes you were healed. By my stripes you are healed. But the Father said that. There may be some in here tonight that are losing focus. There may be some in here tonight that are waiting for a door to open for employment or a higher promotion. The Father said, I am the God of promotion. Nothing's too hard for thee. If you believe that, I will honor your request. We see here in Psalms 103:4, to back up, but the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Who God redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Can somebody shout? Amen. Hallelujah. We see here in verse 23, he's got it all together. He is delighted. He's tickled to death. My son's come back. My best robe, shoes on his feet. Give him plenty to eat. Give him what he wants. Oh, the fatted calf. You know, later on, time won't permit, but later on, the older brother gets wind of this from the hired servants because music's going on. They're having a celebration. I mean, they're having a time. It's something to celebrate. The young son has come home. Well, we see the other part of the definition of extravagant in the older son. What's going on at the house? You haven't heard? No, I haven't heard. That's why I asked. What's going on? He said, your younger brother, or your only brother, he's come back home after being gone this long. And your daddy said, look, he's got out the fatted calf, he got the best robe, got shoes on. We're having a celebration, and you're invited. Huh, I am not going. He swelled up, and he was jealous. Well, his father comes out and says, son, what's wrong? Haven't you heard? Yes, I've heard. But you know what? I'm not going in, Daddy. You know why? You know, I've done everything you've told me. I've never wavered once. I've done exactly what you've said. And yet you're showing royalty literally to him. He chooses to go to a far country, spend all his money, get involved with the evil of this world, and you're showing him that. And the dad, the father tells him, he says, you know, everything I have is yours. Even after he'd already given back the 2/3, he said, everything I have is yours. We see here in Psalms 103:10, he hath not dealt. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If you've got any fiber of your being worth shouting, this scripture here will do it. He, God, hath not dealt with us after our sins. Can I get a witness? I said he has not dealt with us after our sins. My God, if he had dealt with me and all the things I've done, yes, I'm not the saint, past tense, that you think I was. I shared some of my testimony. I got into everything. I was one of the chief deputies for Satan. But I remember October the 10th, 1990. On a Sunday afternoon, I was going home. And we hear it in this church and other churches throughout different denominations. You could say I was under conviction. You could say I was under a great conviction. And I'm right by myself, driving down the road. I didn't have about a mile to go. And I heard this voice. This voice said, it's time to come home. And that was that still, small voice. This was all a setup in my testimony, the same way it was for this prodigal son. He had to come to himself. I had to come to myself. I didn't know this. But that night, I had promised my mother that I would take her to church. That's the furthest place I wanted to be, was in church. But the previous weeks, I had started, you know, now I can rejoice about it. But I'm going to tell you what, Pastor Ricky, being under conviction is bad. It's not a good place to be in. It can be a stressful time. And I knew that. I was brought up knowing right from wrong. I knew right from wrong. We all know right from wrong. Doing it and saying it's two different things. And so that voice said, it's time to come home. And me, I said, well, I even said, Lord. I said, Lord, I am going home. You know, he never responded to that. I knew what he was talking about. I had 1 mile to go, and I was going to my earthly home. There's only one home, and that's our eternal home. And it was time for me to come home. Well, I was under so much conviction, I told Janet when I got home, You're going to go by and pick your mom up tonight and take her to church, ain't you? Nope. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I was scared. I was under conviction. I didn't want to do that. I knew I was being drawn. One part of me was like this, and the other part of me was like this. Can I get a witness? The enemy of my soul and your soul was on one side, but my victorious king was on the other. So I picked up Mama about 6 o'clock that night, took her to Farmington Heights, and at about 35 minutes later, somewhere around 6:30, the convicted spirit that was upon me sent me right straight to that altar at Farmington Heights Church of God, October 10th, 1990. And the reason I can testify and say that is because I had come into myself. And I knew that the Father said that if I would just surrender and give up, everything would be all right. We see here in verse 24, as I close, "For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." He'd give up. He'd give up. We had a good friend. I grew up with him. He went in the Army because of me. His mom and dad here live in Wilson. He was a very avid fisherman, and he lived up near Williamsburg, Virginia. Some years ago, he was out fishing one night, and he never come home. And he worked at Fort Eustis, Virginia. He was in civil service. He was well known at that fort, well respected. He was a good guy. They looked for him for months and months, and they finally found his remains sometime later. And it was such a release on Mom and Dad. Oh, they was always, they were hoping. This father here, he was hoping. No wonder he was happy and he was rejoicing. And they found his remains and they were at peace. Now they know where their son was. Tonight, I'm asking you, if you have any issues in your life, the enemy has come to you and once again lied to you, remember, no matter what you're going through, it's always going to be, "But the Father said." Satan don't have the final say. The Father has the final say. And we are remnants of him. We are ambassadors of Christ. God is good and a present help in the time of need. If there's anyone that needs prayer tonight, a special need, you may have got this report, but you combat that report by knowing, "But the Father said," amen and amen. Pastor Ricky, if you'd like to come up, I think a good closing, it was my intent tonight, and I'm talking to fellow believers here, but it's my intent tonight to reinstill the joy of the Lord in you by knowing, "But the Father said." And I think, Brother Ricky, we touched on that this morning. I think, Pastor, that one, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Amen. If there's anyone for prayer, myself and the prayer team will be glad to pray for you. That's a measure of faith. If you'd like to come up to this altar, I wish you would, everyone. As we get into this, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen and amen. I assure you that we're in good hands and it ain't with Allstate. Amen. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we rejoice in knowing that no matter what we hear, but the Father said, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. Glory to the Lamb. Brother, you going to sing for us?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I chose Satan to get me behind. Victory today is mine. Love is mine. Love is mine. Love today is mine.
Satan to get thee behind. Oh, now victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine.
Come on.
Yeah.